Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nustafa. Khususan ala sayyidi al-rusul wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. It was the fifth year after migration when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received some devastating news. And the news was that all of the major tribes of Arabia have come in agreement that together they will attack Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba in Medina Munawwara. There was an army of 10,000 folks, 10,000 soldiers that were headed to Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was worried and he asked the companions what should be done. Among them was a man by the name of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, who suggested to the Prophet of Allah that in our land, in Persia, when we would be outnumbered in such a fashion and we were caught off guard, we would dig a trench around the camp of our army, and therefore giving us a buffer, and it would be a standoff. And if we were able to hold the standoff properly, it would force the opposition into retreat. It's a tricky move, but it works. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose a location where to place the Muslim army. They dug the trench out. However, there was one side of the Muslim army that was left vulnerable. That vulnerable side was actually also blocked, but it was vulnerable from the sense that on one side there was a mountain, in front of them there was a trench, but on that one side there was a whole community that lived there. And the army wouldn't be able to pass through that community unless the people of that community opened up the doors of their forts. They would have to open up the gates. The army otherwise couldn't just barge through. These people were the Jewish community of Banu Qurayza. They had signed an agreement with the Muslims that if Medina Munawwara were attacked, they would side with the Medinans, with the Muslims in this case, and they would stand together against the enemy. When the 10,000 people arrived outside Medina Munawwara, the Ahzab, the Confederates, and they saw the trench in front of them, they were caught off guard. Therefore, there was a long standoff between the two. Very long. At the end of it, the Quraysh realized that their allies would leave unless they figured something out. So one of the proposals was, let's go to Banu Qurayza and ask them to open up their gates so we can attack the Muslims from another direction. The Muslims themselves were kind of confident and content that the Jews wouldn't betray them because there was an agreement. The group of people came to the Jews of Banu Qurayza and they tried to convince them to open up their gates. Originally they said, no, we can't do that. That would be betrayal of our ally. And not only betrayal, but betrayal at the time of war. That's the highest crime. We would be executed if we weren't successful in this. The khulasa, the summary of the story is, finally Banu Qurayza gave in and they agreed to open up their doors. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard what happened, news reached him, he became very worried. However, before they were able to execute their plan, there was another plan devised that caused the Confederates to be divided, and then a heavy wind came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pushed their tents over, at the end of which Abu Sufyan, who was the leader of the Quraysh at the time, he said, فَارْتَحِلُوا فَإِنِّي مُرْتَحِلُ. That go back home everyone, this battle's over, it's a lost cause, I'm going home. And everyone went away. These people were gone, however, Banu Qurayza was still there. And their betrayal wasn't forgotten. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba came back home to Medina Munawwara. The Prophet of Allah was taking off his armor at home and he saw Jibreel alayhi salam. Jibreel alayhi salam still had his armor on and he said, O Messenger of Allah, how can you take your armor off when the Malaika haven't taken their armor off? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, to where should we go? And Jibreel alayhi salam said, to Banu Qurayza. Their betrayal will not be forgotten. Had that worked out, there would have been a massacre. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announced to the companions, Dhuhr Salah had already been prayed. Asr Salah was next. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one will pray Asr Salah here until we arrive in Banu Qurayza. Which means everyone out, we're going straight there. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba arrived at Banu Qurayza. These people, as I mentioned, had forts. They locked themselves inside. And again, there was a long standoff. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear to them that there was nowhere for them to go, and they would have to pay up for their crime. Banu Qurayza had requested people to come from the Muslim side to see if they could negotiate terms and, you know, work something out. Among them was a companion by the name of Abu Lubabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was an Ansari companion. According to the historians, he participated in the Battle of Uhud. And he was actually given a portion for participation in Badr, even though he did not participate because he was asked to stay behind by the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a senior companion. He enters into the fort of Banu Qurayza and he's sitting in front of them face to face. And they're having conversations. Banu Qurayza wanted to know, if they did open their gates, what would the Prophet of Allah do with them? What was the potential punishment that was cooking on that side? But they had no idea. So in order to emotionally shake him up a little bit, the women and children came in front of Abu Lubabah and they started crying. Abu Lubabah had a previous relationship with Banu Qurayza of trading and dealing. He was an Ansari companion from Medina Munawwara originally. His heart was a little vulnerable in that moment. And one of them asked, so, if we do surrender, what is the Prophet of Allah saying he will do to us? Abu Lubabah, in that moment, he took his hand and made a gesture from one finger across his neck, one ear across his neck to the other ear, which was an ishara. He didn't say anything, he just made a gesture, which is a qatl, you will all die. What you did was too big. You betrayed at the time of war. This cannot be forgiven. He didn't say all of that. He just made one gesture from one ear with his finger across his neck to the other ear. He says himself, before I even finished off that gesture and I even took another step, I realized in that moment I had just betrayed Allah and His Messenger by sharing their secret with the enemy. So he left there right away. And rather than going to meet Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went straight to Masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's mosque. There was a pillar, a tree. He went to the tree and tied himself and he said, by Allah, I won't be released from here until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announces my forgiveness for what I've done. The Prophet of Allah did not know what was going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals an ayah in the Quran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la takhunu Allah wa rasool. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. O those who believe, never betray Allah and His Messenger. And you betray your trust. وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. While you are aware. Now, he is tied. Someone tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Abu Lubaba has tied himself in the masjid, and he says that he won't release himself until verses of the Quran are revealed, until Allah azza wa jal reveals his forgiveness. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, had he come to me, I would have asked forgiveness on his behalf. But now that he's taken matters into his own hands and has made such a claim, I will leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Lubaba radiallahu an remained tied to that pillar for 6 days. When salah time would come, his wife would approach the masjid, she would untie him, he would pray, and then she would tie him up again. People would walk past him, he would be crying, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These hearts understood what it meant to do something wrong. Such a beautiful thing. Committing a sin or slipping up is actually as human as it gets. And anyone that claims that they don't commit mistakes or don't slip up is being dubious. They're not being honest. But what's the Muslim amazing human thing to do that's the muqtada, the required of our iman, is that when we slip up, we feel the pain and we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have done things in our lives that we know are categorically wrong, but we found a way to bury them away and never even make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We haven't even owned up to it yet. We haven't even realized what the issue is yet. Such arrogance / ignorance. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reveals an ayah. Salma radiallahu anha narrates that the Prophet of Allah, she was the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was at my home, and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiling. And I said, O Messenger of Allah, bima tadhak, adhak Allahu sinnak. Why are you smiling? Why are you laughing? May Allah always keep you laughing. And this adhak Allahu sinnak is a dua the ulama always say when they see another person smiling. I heard my teachers saying this to me all the time. When we were in class, and if we were smiling, our shaykh would pass by and he would say, adhak Allahu sinnak. May Allah always keep you smiling. I wondered whether this was something he came up with or whether it was from the hadith itself. Then I read this in the riwayah of Salma radiallahu anha, where she said this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adhak Allahu sinnak. May Allah always keep you smiling. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed the forgiveness of Abu Lubaba radiallahu anha. She was shocked. She said, O Messenger of Allah, can I go and tell him? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go. Salama radiallahu anha came herself and told everyone that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven Abu Lubaba radiallahu anha. They came to open up Abu Lubaba. Abu Lubaba said, don't open me up. I betrayed the Messenger of Allah. I would like for him to come and open me up with his own hands. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and opened up Abu Lubaba radiallahu anha with his own blessed Mubarak hands and recited the ayat which tell us of the story in the Quran. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 102, 103, 104. وَآخَرُونَ اعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. And there were a group of people who اعْتَرَفُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, who accepted their sins. خَلَطُوا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَآخَرَ سَيِّئًا. They mixed their good deeds and their bad deeds. عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ. It's very possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving and merciful. Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, while commenting on this verse, he says, from the shara'it, from the conditions of tawbah, is nadama, remorse. And Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu's action was a clear statement of his remorse. And he said that committing a sin is humanly. Repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something many people do. But true repentance is contingent upon nadama and remorse, and that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah azza wa jal puts it in someone's heart, that they actually feel the weight. تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنَا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. That you feel the weight of what you've done. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, because then in that moment, Abu Lubaba, when his hands were freed, he said, O Messenger of Allah, I would like to donate all of my wealth to expiate for my wrongdoing. Do you guys remember yesterday I said there was a sahabi who held back a tree? And I said that some scholars have proposed his name in some riwayah. Abu Lubaba radiallahu anhu. Now he's saying, O Messenger of Allah, take all of my wealth. I made a mistake. I don't want this wealth anymore. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, well, there's no reason for you to give your wealth. Allah has forgiven you. So in the next ayah 103, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Accept their sadaqah. It'll purify them. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ and pray for them. إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. Your prayer for them is a peace, is a source of tranquility. وَاللَّهُ السَّمِيعُ عَلِيمُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is all hearing and all knowing. In the last ayah, أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهُ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. And do they not know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts the repentance from His servants? وَيَأْخُذُ الصَّدَقَاتِ. And He accepts their charities. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all accepting of repentance and merciful. And it's beautiful because when you look at these three ayat, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Himself, Tawwab, Ghafoor, Rahim, twice. So in these nights, in these Mubarak blessed nights, let's follow the example of Abu Lubaba radiallahu ta'ala. And the example, the lesson for us today is, start with admitting your mistake. And then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that if you turn to Him, He will surely accept your repentance. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.